Welcome back to another episode of the Gene Smith Podcast, presented by Encova Insurance, where we sit down each week to speak with the Ohio State Senior Vice President and Wolf Foundation Endowed Athletics Director to talk about the current state of OSU athletics. My name is Ben Waite, and I am joined, as always, by Mr. Gene Smith. Gene, first and foremost, how are we doing today?
Great, Ben. Thanks for doing this. Appreciate it.
It is my pleasure to be here. No other way I would like to start my day. Gene, we are in the heart of championship season here at Ohio State. A bunch of teams in the postseason ramping up their competitive schedules. We just finished the women's basketball tournament. The men's basketball tournament is coming up this week. Can you tell the listeners what else we have going on?
Thank you, Ben. It is exciting time. It happens to be this week, spring break. So a lot of our students, faculty, and staff are traveling and catching their breath. But really proud of our men's hockey team. They made it to the semifinals of the Big Ten tournament, and they'll play against Michigan State. And obviously, our men's basketball team did a great job closing out the season, and really proud of their performance. And they got a first round bye in the Big Ten tournament, and they'll play Thursday against Iowa at 5:30. So getting the 19-12 was really big for them. And in our women's hockey team, it's the number one overall seed in NCAA championships, and they'll play this Saturday. And just really proud of them for third consecutive time they're the number one seed in NCAA championships. And in men's gymnastics, I had a big meet this past weekend, beating a team up north, and they're just having a great season, being 8-2. And then our women's gymnastics team defeated BYU this past weekend, and they're having a great season at 6-2. Fencing's doing well. 13 of our fencers finished in the top five at the NCAA Midwest Regionals. And then men's volleyball is off to a great start. Also ranked nationally at 15-5. So a lot of our other sports are on the road. The spring sports are going to the good weather, although we're going to have a good weather day today, but they're out on the road in tennis and softball and baseball. And fortunately, men's and women's lacrosse is at home. They're taking advantage of our new stadium and heated field. So they have a number of contests just getting their season started. So a lot going on during this time.
It's going to be unseasonably warm for some lacrosse games here in Columbus. May not even need that heated field, but
exactly.
Nice to know it's there. Well, our guest today, a very exciting guest to have us today joining with Gene. Our guest is in his second week as an employee of The Ohio State University and someone that will work very closely with Gene over the next few months. He is the Senior Advisor for Intercollegiate Athletics here at OSU. Welcome, Ross Bjork.
Thank you, Ben. Thanks for having me. I think I have the best title right now in college athletics. Can I keep that for a while? Senior Advisor? Yeah. We'll keep that as long as possible.
Absolutely. Ross, as I mentioned, you're in your second week as an employee of The Ohio State University. How was week one, and what have you learned up to this point?
Well, how the week has gone has just been tremendous. I mean, it's really everything boils down to people, and the people here just they have a different mindset. And I've been at some great places that have, very unique aspects and think differently as well. But just the standard of excellence, the pride in the institution, the pride in athletics. I described it in my opening comments when I got the job as a public trust for the state of Ohio. And what I see from the staff is that people take that to heart. They know that this is for the entire state. And just seeing that kind of in action, I mean, you hear about the legacy of Gene, you hear about the culture that he's built. But now to be able to see that in action, it's just been phenomenal just to see people really just work here at Ohio State. And then what I've learned, it really goes back to what Gene just described. I mean, think about all the events and all the teams that he just described. And what I have to learn even more is really how to keep up with that and how to have a system in place where I make sure that I'm paying attention, that I'm in tune with all of our teams and all of our athletes. And it's just a massive operation, 600 employees, 1,100 athletes, 36 sports. I think somebody told me we have 28 different buildings. Maybe it's more than that. So there's just a lot to really soak in, and a lot to just understand the magnitude and the gravity of this entire enterprise. So I've learned that it's big, but it's about the people, it's about excellence, it's about standards that are in place. And it's going to be my job to sustain that, grow upon that, and continue the legacy that that Gene has really built.
Yeah, I've been here 15 years. I'm still trying to learn the rules for fencing and field hockey. So it's a lot to stay up on.
I know in field hockey and lacrosse, you just have to outscore the opponent. Beyond that,
you're right.
Yes. I don't know much else, but I know you have to outscore them. Yep. Fencing, we got work to do. We got work to understand that.
Well, you mentioned the people here, and that's obviously a huge component of it, Ross, but you've spent a lot of time trying to get to know a lot of different folks. Can you tell us briefly about your first interactions with our student athletes and coaches?
I would say, you know, look, I don't think the athletic director should be the most important person, you know, in the department, right? It's really the student athletes. It's the coaches. They're the ones that should be out front. But one of the things I've really been impressed with is people know about this transition. They know about me. They know, obviously, Gene's retiring. They want to celebrate that. But the athletes in particular, every time I would go up and introduce myself in the last week, they would say, oh, I've read about you, or oh, I've heard about you, or I watched some of your opening. So they're really in tune. I was really impressed with the athletes. And then I spoke at Lead Like a Buckeye last week, and 100 team captains, I mean, just unbelievable student athletes. And the questions were awesome. I mean, you talk about being in tune with the entire athletic department, the entire enterprise of college athletics. I mean, we talked about everything, the collegiate model. We talked about me personally. They were asking some questions about how would I describe myself. So they're really just in tune. So I've been really impressed with that. And look, anytime you go through a transition, the staff, they're going to be curious. Who is this guy? What's he about? What's his reputation? I'm sure a lot of people have called colleagues that I've worked with, and they've checked me out and things like that. And all you can really do is just be yourself. And so that's what I've tried to do. And I think people have appreciated that. And so I'm getting, you know, just good synergy, good feedback. The people, like I said, have been awesome, just great energy. And so now we just have to flourish that and make sure we continue that and be consistent, you know, as we go through this transition period, but also when I officially, you know, take over on July the 1st.
Gene, Ross alluded to the scope and scale of our department. It's obviously one of the things that makes us unique. And our staff puts together a lot of information about the department and the university to help Ross kind of fully understand all of that. How did we as a staff prioritize what Ross needed to know first? And what did you think was most important?
Yeah, I mean, I think, Ross said our people are the heart and soul of all that matters for in this organization. And he's done a great job of taking advantage of the platforms that our kind of onboarding planning committee put together for him, so he can engage with people and try and understand, you know, what our culture is. So I thought that was most important. I thought that was most important is for him to, you know, meet the staff. He had an all-staff meeting, meet our management team, which is our leadership group, meet our student athletes. He talked about Lead Like a Buckeye and all of those leaders. And he's been at athletic events that since he's been here. So getting engaged, it is a beast. You know, it's 5.7 gross square foot of building, over 400 acres of land. And so there's a lot of responsibility, and over 500 events when you add in concerts and all those other activities. And so, you know, the main thing was getting in front of the people and establishing a connection and a presence. And he's done that well. So that was biggest priority. And I really, really felt comfortable with the onboarding committee, with the help of the university HR in developing a great onboarding strategy for him.
How important, Gene, is that collaborative effort with the university side of things as we try and bring Ross up to speed?
Yeah, I mean, we chatted about this, and he knows this. So he's a seasoned leader And he knows that athletics can't sit on an island and be siloed and to be successful. We have to be integrated like we are structurally. Some of the places he's been at, he's had different units structurally integrated with their institution. And we also have to do that behaviorally. You know, when we're doing things and planning things, we need to think about student life. We need to think about academic affairs. We need to think about, you know, our facilities and operation development or organization and just do it naturally. And that's a part of the culture. And so, you know, that piece was critical. He's embraced that. And he understands, you know, the old Peter Drucker quote that culture beat each strategy for breakfast every single day. And so understanding how we're integrated with the institution is a part of that culture, not just structurally, but behaviorally.
We're at an interesting inflection point, not just for our department as we welcome Ross and this university, but also across the landscape of college athletics. And so being that we're in the unique position of having two of the top leaders in our sport under one roof, I thought we would talk through some of the things that are going on nationally as well. First, I would love to know both of your thoughts on the additional proposal to expand the college football playoff to 14 teams. Gene, maybe we'll start with you.
Yeah, I mean, I really applaud our commissioners and their leadership in trying to evaluate what's best, whether it's 12 or 14. 12 is something that had been decided, and 14 has been something that's thrown out there in discussions, and we'll see where it ends up, but which, you know, provides more access, and that's really good, providing access, considering that we have the now we have history. The CFP at 4 gave us data points, gave us metrics, things that we could look at historically. And so I feel good about it. We'll see what happens. And I'm not sure how it's going to roll, but we'll see what happens.
Ross, what do you think?
Yeah, Ben, Gene hit on the key word access. And people, if you look at the metrics, TV viewership is up in college football. Attendance is rising back up. It increased this past year. They want content, and our job on the entertainment side, yeah, we're in education and we're supporting our athletes. But on the entertainment side, our job is to produce live content, and having more playoff games produces more live content. People love college football in this country, right? There's all this angst on the collegiate model. But one thing's not going away. We're still going to play games. So I love the access piece. I love the fact that we're adding more content. I love the fact that, look, there's going to be more resources for our athletes. Let's face it. And I think we're going to talk about that. And so having more resources for the athletes because of more content, I think is healthy for the enterprise. And I just love, I'm a college football fan. I played it at a Division II level. I didn't play at the level Gene played at. But people love college football, and we need to provide more. And so I applaud really the SEC and other commissioners. You know, 4 years ago started this. We could have got to this point sooner, but things happen. And so here we are, and I'm glad expansion is going to be here for this season. And then maybe it does expand to 14 for the 27-6 season as well. So we're on the right track.
Yeah, Ross, you alluded to it. I'm interested in how you guys think the expansion of the college football playoff plays into discussions around revenue sharing and or player compensation and everything that goes into those issues. Ross, why don't you tackle this one first?
Yeah. Well, look, we've been kind of fighting this as an enterprise for a long time. I mean, we've been resisting NIL. We could have put our athletes in video games. We could have put them on posters. We could have given them stipends for being, you know, making appearances. We could have done all that, and we just resisted it to try to protect the amateur model. And those days are long past. We have to evolve. So the more money that's now in the system, we need to share that with the athletes. And that day is coming. What that looks like, how it's structured, is very complicated. Employment matters are very complicated. on college campuses for students. You have international student athletes who are not allowed to work when they're here on a student visa. There's a lot of complications that come with employment and revenue sharing. The day is going to come where we do it. And it's just a matter of what does it look like, how it's structured, what does it flow through? Does it all flow through the conferences? Is there appearance fees through the CFP for athletes? We don't know exactly how it's going to be structured, but the day is coming. It's time. There is a lot of money in the system. We'll have to make decisions on how to allocate all of that new money and what that looks like. But I think it's the right thing. It's past time, and I'm glad that we're able to have a seat at the table for these discussions.
Gene, what do you think?
Yeah, I can't add much more to that. I mean, it's a reality. You know, it took us, you know, I think, 7 years to add cost of attendance to the scholarship model. You know, for four decades, it was roll board books and tuition, and took us a long time to get cost of attendance added, which is the miscellaneous expenses that student athletes and all students have to deal with. And so this is the organization is just really challenged with moving quickly. It's really challenged with actually being forward thinking, and it always has been. And Ross is right. You know, many of us years ago would have enacted NIL were it not for just the diversity in our membership. We have 361 Division I schools, and we're all different, have different missions. And so getting things done is really hard. It's not easy. And so there will be a new model for student athlete compensation beyond room, board, books, and tuition and cost of attendance and academic support. So just don't know what it's going to look like, don't know what it's going to be, but it's coming. And I'm hopeful that, you know, we can be a part of the model like Ross talked about and in designing it as opposed to having it designed for us. We have a lot of lawyers in our space. We have a lot of politicians in our space, just interest groups and pressure groups that ultimately, if we don't move ourselves, somebody's going to move for us. And I would prefer that practitioners be the ones who actually make the move. I do believe that regardless of whatever the model is, we keep education and academics tethered to that model. Our rules and around eligibility and academic progress and things of that nature have been phenomenal. They've helped our student athletes in a big way. Graduation rates are higher than they've ever been. And so I hope that whatever we come up with, we protect that. We keep everything tethered to that, and we stay focused on that.
Ross alluded to the college football video game that's coming out this upcoming summer. I'm interested what you guys think if the compensation model around that video game would be applicable or replicable for any other future compensation models for student athletes, knowing that it's touching 10,000 plus current student athletes. Gene, what do you think?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think anything like that that emerges will eventually evolve and change over time and ultimately be a part of the structure that is defined. You know, that would be a part of a licensing model that we would embed. If it was Ohio State Buckeyes licensing or whatever we call it, it would be something of that nature. So I think that that's a viable option as we move forward and it's something to consider.
Ross, what do you think?
Yeah, you know, it's fascinating. I was walking through the Shoemaker Center last week and I saw some of the men's soccer student athletes in their player lounge and they had a video screen up and I said, what are you guys getting ready to do? Watch film? And they said, no, we're getting ready to play the NFL Madden game. And I said, oh, the college football game is coming next year. And they said, we need a college soccer game as well that we could play. And I said, that'd be a great NIL opportunity. And they said, absolutely. So what's really cool is that the athletes, they love these video games. It'd be neat if we could kind of spread that out among different sports. I don't know what the complications are from a technology standpoint to do other sports, but the athletes are paying attention to this. And I think that's really, when you boil it down, they just want a little piece. They just want some access. They want, man, if they could be in a video game and make $1,000 or whatever the number's going to be, I think they just want access. And so I think those group elements, that's really what NIL, I think, was meant for. And whatever we get into, whether it's revenue sharing or things like that, I think there's still going to be these unique niche kind of NIL activities that we'll be able to support as athletic departments. And those are going to be the fun things, I think, that we put together. So it's definitely a model, and I hope we can really spread it out to as many of our athletes as we can.
Primarily, I ask so that I can convince my wife that buying a PlayStation is a business expense, and it's for research purposes. So I appreciate you guys allowing me to go down that road. Pivoting a little bit here, Ross, would love to hear, when does your family get to Columbus, and what are they most excited about for this transition?
Yeah, speaking of video games, our oldest son, Peyton, he'll take you on in whatever video game. I think he's pretty good at that stuff. No, our family, we're just so fired up. I mean, I've got a bunch of family here in the state of Ohio. Part of the story here is my mom grew up in Northwest Ohio, so I've got first cousins, second cousins, third cousins, you know, cousins I probably don't even know about that are probably waiting to ask me for tickets once the football season starts. But our immediate family, Sonia and Paxton, they will be coming up here the 1st of June. Here to Columbus, they'll be moving here permanently the 1st of June. We drop Peyton off, our oldest son. He's going to play football at Tarleton State. So if you see me wearing purple, that's what it's for. We're dropping him off on June the 1st. He starts summer workouts in summer school on June 3rd as a college football player. And so we're going to kind of leave him behind in Texas. But we'll be watching him from afar. And then Sonia and Paxton, really, they're just excited just to embrace it all. You know, the neighborhoods, the schools, you know, the Buckeye Nation, all the sports, they just love it. And I think in our profession, our family has to be kind of part of the lifestyle that we lead in college athletics. We don't have a clock. And so we have to integrate them into our job, if you will. So they're just excited to embrace it all. They love the fact that we're now back at a Nike school. So they're excited about gear. We've gotten some gear. So that's a nice perk to be back in the Nike family. But they're just excited just to be a part of it. And they see the largeness, they see the scale, they see the vibrancy of the city. And that's really cool to be able to embrace. So it's going to be a lot of fun once they get on the ground here.
Yeah, not only are the Nike shoes most stylish, but they're also comfortable, which in my degrading physical form is most important at this point.
That's right.
Ross, I know you went over to football practice last week. What are your early impressions of the 2024 Buckeye football team?
You know, coming from the SEC, you know, you see great athletes, right? And so I'm used to seeing that. But coming here, I see the depth. And really, just across the board, it's like, oh, wow, who's that young man? Oh, well, he hasn't even played yet. And it's like, wow, holy cow. You know, seeing a guy like Sonny Styles, they're moving him to linebacker. I mean, he looks like a linebacker, right? And so just seeing the talent, seeing the energy, I think was really neat. Obviously, there's been a lot of changes, and there's been incoming transfers and new coaches, and just seeing the energy around the program, I think, was really neat to be in the building. You can kind of just sense it, that there's just a confidence and there's a chemistry going. And the key to all of this, and I've talked to Coach Day about this, is there's a lot of talent. Now it's going to be about culture. It's going to be about chemistry. And all of those things start with these kind of sessions, with the off season, with spring practice, the workouts. And by all accounts, man, those guys are really humming at a high level. So that's what's been exciting to kind of see that in the first week that I've been here.
Gene, when I was at practice last week, I saw them using the in-helmet communications and the tablets. How do those new additions help modernize the college football game?
Well, I think for our players, it gets them familiarity with those who go pro, will have an understanding of using those tools, and that's going to be invaluable to them that have an opportunity to go to the next level. But I also think they're all teaching tools, and so helping on the sidelines with the tablets, helping our student athletes with their blind spots on the field, seeing what they don't see. Those will be, great teaching tools for our coaches and to help our student athletes get better in the game. And then the communication, it's evolved, the signal calling and all that type of stuff evolved and kind of became ridiculous in how we were doing things. And so this is simpler. And, so our student athletes who actually are controlling their side of the ball, be it defense or offense, it'll be easier for them. They'll be able to hear as opposed to having to read a million different signs and all those type of things. And so just taking advantage of technology the right way from an educational point of view and smoother communications is going to be very good.
And I saw you across the way when I was at practice, Gene. I saw you mingling around over there. What were your impressions, and what are you going to miss about being around the team like that?
Well, I'm just miss being around the team, being around those young people. And, Ross is right. We have a lot of depth at this point in time, largely because many of our upperclassmen came back who could have gone pro and, been third round or second round or some even low first round draft choices, and they chose to come back. And so that helped with our depth. So I'm just going to miss being around them, being around the coaches, being around the support staff, and just talking football. It's different when you're not in it. And so I don't know what that means, but I'm certainly going to miss that part.
I'm sure there's a high school practice somewhere in Arizona you could wander around and just watch guys hit each other.
Yeah, I'm sure I will. The relationship with the kids, Ross and I were at the men's gymnastics meet this past weekend and watched our men's gymnastics team perform exceptionally well against an outstanding Michigan team. But we had Cody Simon was there. Mm. We had, five swimmers there. We had women's lacrosse players there, but Ross and I spent a little time with Cody, and he was there supporting some of the gymnasts that he knew, and so I'm going to miss those relationships more than anything.
Gene, before we get out of here today, why don't you tell listeners a little bit about what we have going on here on campus in the next couple of weeks?
Yeah, we chatted a little bit about it in the opening with all the sporting events and the fact that we're on spring break, and we're really doing a lot of planning right now and making sure that Ross is onboarded the right way and all of our teammates are working on that. But just a lot of sporting events. I'm really excited about particularly our women's hockey team having a chance in the national championships, being number one seed and hosting and having a chance on Saturday at 4 o'clock. At the ice rink to compete. They'll play the winner of the UConn versus University of Minnesota Duluth team. So we'll see how that goes. And then obviously excited about men's basketball and their chase. We didn't, none of us really thought that we actually would get up a first round bye, but they performed exceptionally well and earned that right. And they'll have their legs underneath them, facing a very good Iowa team. So in Minneapolis. So we're really excited about them and see what happens as we roll.
Certainly an exciting time for all of our teams going into championship competitions, wishing them all the best of luck. But that does it for another episode of the Gene Smith Podcast presented by Encova Insurance. Thank you again to Ross for joining us today. We really appreciate everyone who has listened and subscribed thus far. Be sure to leave a review wherever you find your podcasts. Until next time, for Gene Smith and everyone here at Ohio State Athletics, I'm Ben Waite. Be well and go Bucks.
Go Bucks.
Go Bucks.